from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What week is it?
It's Tears Week.
What week is it?
It is QB Tear Week.
What week is it?
I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our cute my, not ours. Lima is not attaching his name to this.
Too dangerous. Way too dangerous. There's too much on the line. I wasn't ready for the pressure.
It is time for my QB tiers of 2023. There are five tiers. Now, this is a direct ripoff of Mike Sando. I ain't going to lie.
And then everybody else ripped off Mike Sando.
Yes.
This might be a ripoff of the ripoff.
Yes. Mike Sando's QB tiers don't come out for a while. So then we can compare and contrast our QB tiers when my QB tiers when Mike Sando puts his out. The five tiers are, in order of wild cards and rookies, tier five, gender reveal video pass Kirk Cousins. If you remember that one.
Really rough pass.
And the names are as followed in tier five. These are unknown quarterbacks or rookie quarterbacks. Bryce Young, Stetson Bennett, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, and ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Pickett. I put him in there as unknown.
Wow.
More interceptions than touchdowns.
Yep.
He had a flair for the dramatic.
He does. As a huge fan of 92.3 The Fan.
However, I have a feeling that when I do QB tiers in 2025, 2026, these could be a Kenny Pickett flavored tiers, unlike Kirk Cousins, or like Kirk Cousins flavored tiers. You get what I'm saying?
They better not lose to Kenny Pickett this year. Not allowed.
Yeah, you're kind of right. That's basically unacceptable.
I mean, if they lose one game to Pittsburgh, they lose one game to Kenny Pickett.
You know what?
You start to play the schedule game, you get very nervous.
That's a question not for today, but probably at some point. I think it's unacceptable to lose to Kenny Pickett and the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. With Deshaun Watson, I mean, unless your entire defense is decimated or something crazy happens, if you have Deshaun Watson, it's head versus head. First time you play each other is early in the season, Monday night, what, week two? Yeah, you better beat him. I mean, you better beat Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, you can even just single out that game. Forget about saying the split thing. They can't lose that game. Because if they lose that game, they're capable of losing way more.
Tier 4. This is 4 p.m. Kirk Cousins. Quarterbacks in danger or on their way out. Sam Howell.
Who?
He plays for the Washington Commanders.
Who? They change your name again?
Desmond Ridder. Do I put Carson Wentz in this list, by the way? Do I put Carson Wentz in here?
He's still in the league?
They're letting him throw passes again?
Where's Carson Wentz at?
Did he go back to Indy?
Where's Carson Wentz at? Hold on.
Three people Googling all at the same time.
I cannot believe I did all this.
Who Googles it
that's,
faster?
That's the sound it makes.
He is currently a quarterback for the free agency.
For the free agency.
Wow. Maybe he's going to wait for a playoff contender that he can sabotage again. He's going to wait until somebody gets injured by week six.
I'm adding Carson Wentz to the list. I'm putting Desmond Ridder in there, and that's because of everybody else's opinion of that. Trey Lance, San Francisco 49ers. Russell Wilson.
Wow, come on.
Boom. Jordan Love. That's because everybody else's opinion. Carson Wentz and ladies and gentlemen.
So you didn't put Love in the unknown?
No. I wrote him in there and I crossed it out in my first draft. And then I did it again in my second draft and I go, no, he's in the danger zone. Because if they don't finish above 500, like if they finish 10-7, I think people will be fine. But if they don't finish above 500, the chickens are going to come home to roost, especially if the Jets go out there and do very well. Like, we're going to be saying some things about Matt LaFleur. I'm not going to call him what Michael Lombardi calls him, but we're going to be saying some things about Matt LaFleur, and we're going to be saying some things about Jordan Love. I want to give him a little bit of time, but I'm going to say he's definitely in danger because of who he's replacing. And ladies and gentlemen, added to the list of 4 p.m. Kirk Cousins tier 4, Kyler Murray.
Oh, man.
He's been injured the last two years at the end of the year. We're worried about his work ethic. We're worried about all the video games. And you got to have – he's already been signed to a contract. That contract's been under scrutiny. Yes, there'd be somebody willing to kick the tires on him. But if he doesn't come out and have a gangbusters type of performance after he comes back from the injury, the only place I can find him in is possibly tier 3. He doesn't go to tier 2 or certainly not tier 1 after 2023.
Loses Cliff Kingsbury and now has Jonathan Gannon. Will that make a difference? Because at times, Murray, when he was willing to run, Murray was a big time weapon. He was tough to game plan against.
Yeah. Tier 3. This is leftover pot roast Kirk Cousins. These are for placeholders / journeymen. Top of the list, Daniel Jones. Which there were some people who were saying, hey,
did he just sign?
And I understand you said that, but Saquon Barkley was one of the league leaders again. I think it's fraudulent. I think that Brian Daboll had to hold his hand, which some people tried to say, well, Ken, leftover pot roast, it's better the second day than it was the first. I think that's something we trick ourselves into so we can trick ourselves into saying that pot roast is good or better the second day. They say that leftovers are better the second day. Guys, we all know that's not true. We all know leftovers aren't better the second day. I did have somebody tweet at me that they make them into a stew, and I said, congratulations, you are the Brian Daboll of leftovers. You found a way to repackage it. You found a way to make it better. Just like Brian Daboll did with Daniel Jones. Moving on, Kirk Cousins is in the list in tier 3.
Would have been funny had you completely omitted Cousins from all the Cousins tiers.
That would be great. Jared Goff, Derek Carr. I crossed out Sam Darnold, then rewrote Sam Darnold. Geno Smith.
I was waiting for Geno. Geno was an interesting one.
Geno's a placeholder.
He had
I'm sorry.
Some weird magic last year.
Give me another year, bud.
After a 7-year hiatus of getting his face just caved in by a teammate, I thought he was out of football. I didn't know what Geno Smith was doing. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing Dustin Fox, and I thought it was a year long bit. If you didn't watch football, I'm like, he's making this up. There's no way Geno Smith is playing well.
Matt Stafford. We're getting old now, bud.
Well, yeah.
Mac Jones, because have you ever seen a fall from grace? That's basically created by Bill Belichick. Ryan Tannehill, Gardner Minshew, Jimmy Garoppolo, and folks, Baker Mayfield, tier 3.
This is higher than I thought Baker would be.
If he can get to 15 touchdowns and five interceptions, basically Daniel Jones numbers, he can stay in this category. He can stay in this tier. He can stay around the NFL.
Can I see?
He just needs to limit turnovers.
You said 15 touchdowns. Can 15 I see touchdowns. 15 completions without a defense in OTAs? Because I haven't even seen that yet.
Jeez Louise. So Baker is in tier 3. Tier 2. 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins, or as you may call him, franchise Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, Aaron Rodgers.
Whoa. Whoa.
Lamar Jackson.
Whoa.
Trevor Lawrence.
Whoa.
Justin Bobby Hebert. Justin Fields.
What?
Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yeah,
you are buying. You
I'm
are
the
buying the field
I'm
stock.
I'm all the way in, baby. I am pills deep. Justin Fields is a franchise quarterback. And you know who else is on this list? In the 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins tier? The man who I had to wait until 5:13 a.m. this morning, Brock Purdy. I'm all the way in on Brock.
Come on. You're projecting both those guys?
Also, 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins. Please be good. Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson.
If you would have told fans before we traded for Deshaun Watson that you would have Deshaun Watson in the same quarterback tier as Brock Purdy, I think there'd have been a mutiny from the fans. Maybe there was a mutiny from the fans. I don't know. Not everybody was happy.
And we have tier one. Fourth quarter, Kirk Cousins. These are the elites.
Here we go. Strap in.
Number one, Patrick Mahomes. Number two,
Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes.
They took away Tyreek Hill. How much more could you take away from Patrick Mahomes and he still dominates the league? Could you start cutting fingers off every year to make it fair?
He'd just switch hands.
I think he would. That's
the like
problem.
The Banshees of Inish Sheeran, where he starts cutting off the fingers.
I think we have a new screenplay.
Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow.
Okay, you've kept it nice and tight.
Thank you very much. That is a tight
grouping.
There's only room for a few elites. Yeah. That's why it's called elite. Three QBs make elite. That's it in my order. Three guys make it. It's Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow. Boom, there you go. 216.
I want to hear from Browns fans.
474-0092.
You had Watson in the same category as Brock Purdy.
Both franchise quarterbacks.
And Justin Fields.
It's always how you say it. It's always how you
That's
say
true.
It.
That's true.
Do you agree?
As A.J. McCarron.
Where I have. You agree? Do you agree where I have Watson? 216-474-0092. Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima. Take us with you to work. 92.3thefan.com and on the free Odyssey app. Tiers are out. Did you agree with my tiers?
So go over the tier two again, because that seems to be the one getting most of the scrutiny.
Tier two is the 1 p.m. Kirk Cousins. These are your franchise quarterbacks.
So you had your elite tier, and that was three guys.
Three guys.
It was Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes.
Yep. Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick. Tier two, franchise quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, or Tuanon, if you will. Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Justin Fields, Brock Purdy.
How many players? How many quarterbacks were in that tier?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Wow. Yeah, that's a huge range, though. I mean,
so we've got 13 franchise quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Yeah, because that's what you're saying. You're saying you have 13 guys that you're good with, that you don't need to think about moving on from, that they all, if they put a full season together, they stay healthy, they should be able to take a team to the playoffs.
There are two guys on this list I've decided to go bullish on, Justin Fields and Brock Purdy. I mean, technically, I guess you could say Deshaun Watson, too, because, the last six games of last season were not good by his own admission. So, do you agree with where Deshaun Watson is? Do you agree with where the other ones are? Then I had the journeyman placeholder tier number three. Tier four was the danger zone. Tier five was gender reveal video pass Kirk Cousins, which is a big unknown question mark. The only quarterback that's played, the rest are rookies, the only one that's played before is Kenny Pickett.
So I think, Justin Fields, I'm very worried about. And I know they've tried to now give him some weapons and everything. And he was somebody that me and you, and it wasn't Ohio State homerism, especially when it comes to you. I mean, you don't even like Ohio State. But Justin Fields, I was a homer.
I was questioned about that this week. I had a person go, how do you not like Ohio State? I go, I don't mind Ohio State. Akron doesn't have nearly as many fans as Ohio State. Akron needs fans. I went to Akron. I'm an Akron fan. Continue.
Well, Justin Fields, I just think, has been such a disappointment. I know there's a lot of circumstances surrounding that and, a coaching change, didn't have any weapons. I get that. And then he would pull off these special runs. He would pull off these Michael Vick runs that I'm like, that guy, the way he's built and the way he can run, this is such a weapon, where I almost thought, you know what? The passing is so far behind that stuff that I almost thought he should just be a gimmick quarterback at this point. Kind of what I thought very early on what you saw to Lamar Jackson, where they had to kind of gimmick up the entire offense. And then he would be accurate on specific throws and in and around the red zone.
Yeah.
But I just haven't seen enough. So you are definitely projecting and buying low on Justin Fields. The Brock Purdy thing, first of all, when is he going to be available?
He was throwing yesterday.
Yes, so he's going to be...
They think he's going to be ready for camp.
Wow, okay. That's remarkable.
I mean, they're excuse me. I should say, I think they're optimistic about him being ready for
okay.
camp. Go ahead.
I mean, he was a gutty performer, what we were seeing out of him, on obviously a very stacked team and a stacked system.
Yeah.
And a coach that understands how to manage a quarterback better than perhaps any other coach in recent NFL history.
Yes.
But if you put Brock Purdy on, what you are saying is, if you put Brock Purdy on any other team, he would step in and be a franchise quarterback, right? Because when you make it to this tier, isn't that independent of your team and
that's
of your coach?
That's why I sat there. Because I started really in earnest working on the tiers Monday afternoon. And then I sat there. I had two drafts. I actually did try. I'm going to get killed for it when I actually publish them, which is going to be horrible. But, you know, you do try. And then I'm going to immediately mute it because it's whatever. And I know people are going to rip it. And that's part of the fun of it.
Immediately going to mute it, disable your account, and throw your computer down the drain.
That's what this is all about. It's supposed to be ripped, and it's supposed to be either agreed upon or disagreed upon, and there's going to be names that are agreed upon. I actually did put thought into the whole thing. I didn't just want to go off the seat of my ass here and just say, well, I'm not going to, whatever, just throw some names out there, and I'll throw Justin Fields in there. I wanted to buy low on Justin Fields. I know he's got different thoughts. I know that they're trying to help him there. I still wish that they would help him out more. We'll see. With Brock Purdy, that's why from Monday afternoon until this morning at 5:13, I said there was one quarterback that I still don't know where to place. And I guess, by the way, Carson Wentz is a free agent, so he's out of the league.
Yeah.
So to hell with it. But there was one quarterback that I didn't know where to place, and that was Brock Purdy. Because that question you would just ask me, if you put him with any other team, would he still be a franchise quarterback? But if I were to go that way, like, I think Nick Sirianni's done a great job. How much credit do I give Nick Sirianni? How much credit do I give Jalen Hurts?
Hurts is so tough. He is so tough because you watched him and he just seemed to be the epitome of a winner. And you hate throwing around that term for somebody in the NFL who is the quarterback of a team and that just went to the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
You're like, no, you've got to be so much more than that. And he did come through when it counted, time and time again. It was a mystery for teams to try to figure out that offense. And obviously, anytime it was short yard situation, it was a guaranteed first down. They kept the chains moving.
And with you asking that question, I mean, I have to be, this is, you got one, literally one guy who was taken number one overall and the other guy who was Mr. Irrelevant, Trevor Lawrence. Well, what was Trevor Lawrence with a different head coach? I mean, there were serious concerns.
It was a total disaster
about what his confidence level was going to be, and it's going, hey, we got to get him away from this coach as soon as we possibly can. So it's a flawed. It's all based on argument. It's all based on projection.
Yeah.
It's all based on, and obviously, sports talk radio is semantics in a lot of ways. 98% semantic. It's based on what I think, and there's guys who definitely. I look down upon Daniel Jones. I look down upon Mac Jones because of his coach now. I look down upon a lot. I mean, everybody loves Geno Smith, and I'm going, nope, I need another year. You got to prove it. You're still in the journeyman tier. You're still going to be there. With Deshaun Watson, he played 6 games last year. There were a couple of good throws, but for the most part, it wasn't very good. He had a good half against Washington. That's not saying
much. So we have to talk. I mean, to me, the next part of this, I think Browns fans would be very interested in. The gap between your elite class, your Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen class, to this next tier, which was a very big, meaty tier, where you had a lot of players with various success levels, various statistical successful levels, what the gap is, because fans are going to want the guy that you traded that haul for, all those first-round picks, all that money, that guaranteed money, had to put the fan base through having to defend, which is what inevitably happened, had to have the fan base defend the guy and everything and every accusation and live on the internet and try to fight people about it. You sacrificed all of that to get a guy that's in that next group, what's the gap?
Well,
how can he make up
for that gap? Are you talking about Watson?
Yes.
Unequivocally, because I look at, okay, Mahomes plays for a very good coach. One of the best. Maybe one of the top 10 best to ever do it, in Andy Reid. So Andy Reid's literally, arguably, the best now, and one of the top 10 best to do it now, or ever, arguably. I could say, well, Patrick Mahomes taken care of. I know what I see with Patrick Mahomes. They're on national TV constantly. We all put Patrick Mahomes there. That's not hard. Josh Allen, I look at what they put on his shoulders, how he has to carry that offense. I think that the defense at sometimes, I think I'm like, what are we doing here? What the hell is this? I see what Josh Allen has done. I say Josh Allen is an elite quarterback. When I see Joe Burrow, obviously I've been very critical of Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. And Duke Tobin I've not been very critical on because I do think he's drafted pretty well for the most part. He's had a couple of misses here and there. But I think they've drafted pretty well for the most part. I put Joe Burrow in that category. How do you get into that category? Unequivocally, I look at you and I say, are you helping your team get to that next level? If Deshaun Watson gets them to the AFC Championship game, if you have a defense, if you have a lot of shootout games, if you have a defense that at times is not able to do it. And then I think you have to ask yourself always the questions of, do you have the gut feeling to it, which is the last question you have to ask yourself, because that's the most flimsy. I think the questions you ask yourself are, what would this franchise be without him compared to where they finished? If the Browns get to an AFC divisional round game this year, I will have known that this team, without Deshaun Watson, wouldn't have done blank. I mean, they wouldn't have done anything. So I could look at it and say, depending on how the numbers are, depending on how he plays, I mean, other things can factor in. Then I would say, okay, Deshaun Watson goes to the elite category. And then while I was drawing this up, I did think, well, should I do this where with elite quarterbacks, should I have to have him in there for 2 years and have to wear that for 2 years? Like if Josh Allen goes out there, like Josh Allen got hurt last year. If Josh Allen goes out there, a lot of people are expecting a backslide for the Bills this year. I'm not. I think he got hurt. I think they had a lot of injuries last year.
I think people,
but if he goes out and he has a backslide, do I immediately take Josh? I'm glad you do agree with me on that. Do I immediately take Josh Allen out of that category? Because it's like, I think it means a lot more, and it makes you look a lot worse to take a guy, and I know we are doing nitty gritty football.
What's quarterback
talk right
tears
now.
Week, Kenny? I'm not going to apologize for doing nitty gritty football during quarterback tears week.
But doesn't it mean a lot worse if I go, Josh Allen was elite last year and he's not elite this year, he's just a franchise quarterback? I think that's pretty cheap, isn't it? So it's almost where it's a term. You have to do 2 year terms
well,
as
we don't
an elite
do
quarterback.
This.
I
know
do
it's
this.
Tough because you don't want to be subjected to.
That makes sense.
You don't want to be subjected to just playing the results every year and then being that finicky where you're swapping these guys out every year. But the problem is the NFL is so drastically different from year to year for so many of these guys. The whole point of that top tier is that these guys are static, that they're going to be there year in and year out, regardless of, hey, wide receiver goes down with an injury. Offensive line has a real, real big problem trying to stay on their feet for an entire season, and yet the quarterback is so elite that he makes up for all those potential deficiencies no matter what it is.
And I love when I brought up Daniel Jones. The first thing you brought up, well, what about the record? What about what they did last year? And I go, my thought was if he and Brian Daboll played in the AFC, would we take them seriously? The answer is absolutely not. Remember, they were played in a tough division last year. And they got themselves into the postseason last year. They weren't a division winner. Like, I think a lot of people look back on the Giants, and because of Brian Daboll, and he's a good coach. He's done very, very well there in his year that he was there. He's been there. But they were 9-7-1 last year. Remember, ties always help. And I think if you were an honest Giants fan, you would say, well, Saquon Barkley got the job done better than what we thought they were going to do. Brian Daboll really helped Daniel Jones, but let's not act like there weren't questions on whether or not to pay Daniel Jones in the first place, and then you found yourself in a position where you just had to do what you had to do. So I could see this by the end of this year going, yeah, this contract isn't very good, and you found yourself in a tough spot because you're in the same division with Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott. We'll see what Jared Goff in Detroit does. If Jordan Love comes to play, they were 8-9 last year. If Jordan Love comes to play, I think it's a different conversation then. I mean, there's a lot of factors that plays into it with Daniel Jones.
I just wonder, after all is said, I know it's just your list. It's obviously this is as subjective as it gets.
Hell
most
yeah.
people do have a similar at the very top, the Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. There are people ready to put Justin Herbert in there right now, and there are people that think that potentially Trevor Lawrence is knocking at the door if he has another strong year, and man, if he goes to the playoffs again. So there is room to make up there. I mean, if the Browns have a really good year and Deshaun Watson is back, even if he's not top three, if he's back and they're winning 12 games, I mean, we're going to be knocking at the door there for Deshaun Watson, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But my question is, if you're telling people there's not a huge gap between him, Dak Prescott, and then you threw Brock Purdy and Justin Fields in that group.
Yeah,
you're projecting.
I mean, I could sit there and play it safe, but what am I going to do with Brock? I could sit there and call Brock Purdy an unknown because of the injury. Okay, well, or I could actually have some pills about
well,
me and say,
well, then this is no fun if you do that.
I
if you
like
just put
guy,
everybody in the unknown category,
I know I like
fun.
The guy, but yeah, I'm just going to shy away because I knew I was going to get hammered for that. That's nothing.
But
it takes no guts at all.
I think if fans were just waking up today, did not see last season, don't know anything about how last season went down, and you're saying there's not that big of a gap between Watson and a bunch of those names you just threw out there, I think they would have buyer's remorse big time on a Deshaun Watson trade.
See, I throw Aaron Rodgers in that same category, though,
well,
Tone.
Oh, okay, yeah. So if you spun it that way and said he's in the same tier as Aaron Rodgers, people would be like, well, yeah, he's really good. So is Aaron Rodgers really good?
Yeah. So I don't think it's buyer's remorse. I mean, we could get to the end of the season and we could have buyer's remorse then, but I don't think it's buyer's remorse just yet. I mean, this is...
Well, if he gets outplayed by Cody Pickett again and it's week two,
well, you can't
yes, there will be instantly, there will be buyer's remorse as quick as you've ever seen.
He gets outplayed by a guy, you can't even say his name right. Yeah, that's going to be a problem there. You made him sound like a country singer. Yeah, I know. It's when you see just franchise, well, $230 million for just a franchise guy. Yeah, $230 million for a franchise guy. That's how important quarterbacks are. There are 13 quarterbacks here, 10 franchise, 3 elite, 13 quarterbacks that you have confidence in that can get the job done. And the rest, you're either questioning or you're wanting. And you're overpaying for these guys. Derek Carr, Daniel Jones, Mac Jones because of the pick, you're wanting. 216-474-0092. Daryl Ryder at 8 o'clock. I'll throw it by him. Also, the Bally Sports situation where a federal judge said, you better pay up, buddy boy. You better pay the Cleveland Guardians. That coming up with Daryl at 8 o'clock. And the Friday Five. The five things we might have missed. Rapid fire. Next on The Fan.
It's the Friday Five on the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Cleveland Sports Radio. 92.3 The Fan.
Number one, Miami's Tyler Herro could possibly return for game two of the NBA Finals after missing time for a surgically repaired right hand. Would Herro's return change the way you see this series playing out, Tone?
You know, I had Denver in six, and a lot of people, after what they saw yesterday, are starting to predict sweep. Not so fast. I do not think it's going to be a sweep.
Wow.
I think Miami comes back and wins game two, but they will not win the series. And Herro, I mean, they need every potential basket getter they can put in the lineup. They need everybody. In fact, DNP for Kevin Love. So that's three straight games he has not played for the Miami Heat. I think they could use 7 minutes of Kevin Love, believe it or not. But I don't think Tyler Herro changes the series, no. Although he's in shape. Like, it's not as if he hasn't been working out. I mean, it was, what, a wrist injury? So
it was metacarpals.
Yeah, so I think he can get back out there and shake off the rust a little bit, but be able to run around.
I'm going to say, I think Denver wins. And I'm going to say Denver in six. But, yeah, because I think yesterday wasn't going to be indicative of what it is. I tend to agree with you a little bit more. But, man, if Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray continue to share like that, I don't know if they're going to stop. It might be in five. But I'll say he'll make a little bit of a difference.
We got to talk about Jokic at some point.
Yes, we do. That's coming up later on the show. Number two, new 76ers coach Nick Nurse says, quote, winning it all is a sales pitch to keep James Harden in Philadelphia next season. If you were Harden, do you believe Philly gives you the best shot to win a championship? Well, over Houston, yes. So,
yeah, well, definitely. And everybody has just assumed for the last 5 months.
I don't know what's important to that guy. I have no idea.
True. I thought he had a great year, honestly. The dumping on him because he had those colossally bad games, bad game seven.
It's left over.
He also had two great games, and they were up. They had a chance. They were a minute away from eliminating the Celtics, and potentially, I mean, they would have been big-time favorites against Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Did anybody ever dislike James Harden the way they did? Or did anybody ever dislike Jimmy Butler the way they dislike James Harden? I don't think they did. We pick our favorites. We got our guys we like and our guys we don't like in the NBA.
What happened with
James
Harden?
James Harden's one we don't like.
What happened was,
we loved him in Oklahoma City.
The way they played in Houston, the way that it was him grifting for fouls, shooting on every possession, it just turned a lot of people off. But yet at the same time, he put up amazing numbers and the team was really good. And so what we do all the time is we go after you and we don't like your style of play. And it happened with Trae Young, who's been to an Eastern Conference Finals. And this year, they put a scare into the Boston Celtics. So we vacillate back and forth on this.
I would dare you to do two things at once. Check your phone and listen to the question I'm about ask you. Number three, Mizzou coach Eli Drinkwitz said Tuesday that student-athletes are now making more than his pediatrician, isn't that surprising, his pediatrician brother-in-law, and that the NCAA, quote, has created its own problems by normalizing players getting paid for their name, image, and likeness. Do you agree with Drinkwitz?
Listen, every coach is annoyed with how much some of the players are making in NIL. They've always enjoyed the fruits of the labor that their players... It's been a big benefit for these coaches, big time. And I think a lot of these coaches don't know how to coach these guys now because they feel like they're on equal footing, even though they're not. I mean, the coaches still have it made better than anybody. But I think these guys are going to continue to bitch about this until there's more regulation on it.
Well, they shouldn't, because anything other than an undeniable positive outlook on NIL will be used against you if you're a head football coach. I said in the court of social media, and that's by the media as well. Like, we can't wait, because he put out the full statement. Eli Drinkwitz, head coach of Mizzou, put out the entire statement of it. He goes, no, this was actually part of it. I go, doesn't matter. You made the mistake. You did not offer unequivocal support of NIL. Because I get upset with the media over it. Now, we've discussed this a little bit off the air. I think it's disingenuous by a lot of us, where we look at these guys, you make $6 million. You shouldn't have any problem with these guys making money. Well, yeah, on the surface of that, that's true. But we all say what? We all want our student athletes to be, quote, protected. But then anytime anybody wants to introduce anything that has any regulatory body to it whatsoever to make sure the athletes are protected so, you know, they don't end up in a transfer portal and end up with no place to play and then no scholarship, all of a sudden, we look like a bad guy. Okay. Well, you want to make it better and easier. I mean, this is a free market system, and you continue to rant and rave against the free market system. And then when they put a free market system in there for college sports, you rant and rave for the free market system. I don't understand that hypocrisy from the sports media.
All right.
Number four.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says a ruling on Ja Morant's future will come after the NBA Finals. Does Morant deserve a suspension? I told you, Kenny, I thought he was going to get a quarter of the season.
Half season.
And now I'm hearing more. I'm hearing people lobby for more.
Half season. See you in February.
I mean, that would be crippling to that team and that organization. Number five, Tom Brady said he certainly will not return to the NFL as a quarterback. If you ran a team that was making a playoff push but lost your starting quarterback, would you bring Brady in for a postseason run?
Yeah,
I would too.
Guys,
teams have called Philip Rivers. They've called Andrew Luck. I think they've probably called John Elway.
If Deshaun Watson,
they've called everybody.
If Deshaun Watson went down like in camp, I would. Where does he live?
Yeah,
I'd stand outside. I mean, I wouldn't get arrested. I would be at the end of his driveway.
And now we could debate.
He owns the Raiders. He doesn't own the Raiders. He has an ownership stake.
We could debate how much he's got left. How crazy would that be? For who cares? What's your alternative? Your alternative is to do what? Sit there with Josh Dobbs? Is Kellen Mond still here? Who's the kid from UCLA they just drafted? The fans are obsessed about.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah. I mean, so Yes.
Yeah, he's not leading us to where we need to go to keep everybody employed. Absolutely
and,
not.
And yeah. then furthermore, wouldn't you start to wonder if you could get Gronk, if you could get any of the guys that used to play with him that he's got on speed dial, Edelman, Wes Welker? Like, you would start to get crazy about it.
Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes.
And then it could be like the NBA where you can loaf during the entire regular season and make that push with completely new players.
Yeah, I would get very desperate very quickly for Tom Brady. So you can never say never. He says never. I would never say never. And that is the Friday Five. Daryl Ryder coming up next where we got to figure out whether or not we can get Bally Sports to actually pay the Guardians. We also have to get figured out whether or not you can actually get them to pay on those NFTs. Oh, more on that coming soon, Tone.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.